Okay, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. Today, I am very excited for this one. We have a very special guest today, sort of branching outside of Australia. So, most of people who listen on this podcast, a lot of you are Australian fans, but we have a bit of a different one today. I'm very excited. We're lucky enough to be joined by Dre Baldwin, an international social media expert, author, entrepreneur, and business coach with a professional athlete background in basketball. So Dre, thank you so much for taking the time today. How are you?
Great, Tony. I appreciate you having me here on the show. Hopefully I can live up to that introduction. So I'm looking forward to being here.
Thank you. Now, we sort of start every podcast the same way, and that's sort of getting a bit of a background in where the journey started for you. So having a basketball background, I sort of want to start by asking you, where did that initial passion sort of spark for you? Was it from an early age or did you sort of start later on?
Well, I was always into sports, period. So here in the USA, growing up in the city of Philadelphia, I'm now in Miami, but we played backyard sports, as I'm sure they do where you're from as well. So we played some kickball, two-hand touch football, American football, basketball. Somebody had a portable basketball court. So I was always into sports, period. So I played a little bit of American football, but I never seriously got into it. Played some baseball, but I wasn't really that good at that. And I got into basketball a little bit later, but I knew I was going to play a sport. I always wanted to play a sport. I just had to find the right one. So that's how I found basketball. Just trying different stuff, and those weren't really hitting until I got the basketball. That one seemed to be the one that I might have a chance at. So that's why I stuck with it.
Yeah, nice. I know with me, I had a bit of a basketball journey. I don't play anymore, but I picked up basketball at a considered maybe a later age than most people do. But I think that's awesome for you. So basketball sort of, I guess, grabbed your attention and you just sort of fell in love with the sport, I'm guessing. So that's really good. Was there a particular point in your life where you sort of knew that you could play basketball at that pro level and you could sort of take your game to, reach your dreams and your goals?
It's a good question, Tony. So there was a time where I believed I could. I don't know about knowing that I could. I believed that I could probably about around age 16. That was around the time that I decided that I'm going to try to make it as a basketball player, which meant I had a couple of years off of high school. Then I'm going to try to play in college. And then through college, the natural progression is I'll be good enough to play pro. So that was the idea. That was the plan. Now, was I 100% sure it was going to happen? No. The point where I knew I could play pro was probably the summer after I graduated from college. So I went to college all 4 years. And the summer after I graduated, I started going to tryout camps and stuff like that, exposure camps, which in the athletic world, people, your listeners probably know what those are, right? The events you pay to go to try to play your way into an opportunity. So when I started going to those, Tony, and I was playing against other guys who were pro level or trying to be pro level, and I was playing well, that's when I started to know, I can actually do this. Now, I wasn't actually signed yet. That didn't happen until later in that. It was actually a year after I graduated college. But when I started playing against those other guys and I was holding my own and doing even better than that, that's when I knew I could do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I think it's so important to sort of have that belief and just stick through it, even if no one else believes in you, as long as you know you can do it, that's all that matters. And I did do a bit of research and I did find out that you didn't actually make the high school team until you were a senior. I sort of want to find out what sort of drove you to never give up and keep pushing, because a lot of people in that position would usually, maybe throw in the towel and say, I'm not good enough, but you kept persistent at it and kept working hard. So what was your sort of thought process in, I'm going to keep at this and I'm going to make it?
I was dumb enough to keep trying. That was the thing, Tony. I was stupid enough that despite the reality that was punching me in the face, I kept getting up and I kept coming back. And that is really the truth, because you were 100% spot on. So, and where I come from, every young man tries his hand at basketball because it's the easiest sport to play, because you don't need any equipment and you don't even need people. You can play basketball by yourself. So where I come from in the cities here in the USA, everybody plays basketball. Every young man at least tries to play basketball. And if you haven't had any significant success, probably by around the age of about 16, that's when guys stop playing basketball and they start maybe chasing after girls. Maybe they go stand on the corner or they try to be a rapper, right? Where I come from, that's what happens. So by age 16, you got a few, you got the maybe 20% of guys who are having some success in basketball. They keep trying. And then you got the 80%. They're like, all right, basketball is not me. I'll play every once in a while for fun, but I'm not trying to do anything. Their ambition for basketball is gone. My reality, my outcomes at that point said I should be in the 80% who's not really serious anymore. But my mindset was the 20% who was actually going somewhere, even though my accomplishments did not match these other guys. But I was just, again, like I said, foolish enough to believe that if I kept trying, I might catch up to these guys and get better. And since I had started late, I started age 14. So by around age 16, I was getting better, but I was so far behind in the learning curve because a lot of these other players have been playing since they were 7, 8 years old. I had only been playing for 2 years. So as I knew I was getting better, and I couldn't have articulated that at this time, but I knew if I stuck with it, I would continue to improve. And I didn't really get full confidence probably till after high school was even over. So you're right, I only played 1 year of high school ball. And that year, Tony, I'll tell you, I had the best seat in the house, right there on the bench, sitting in the front row, watching all the games. So you know, I had no accomplishments by the time high school ended. I still felt like I was getting better. And again, I didn't have anybody who was putting me under their wing and saying, hey, keep going, keep trying. But also didn't really have anybody saying, don't do it. It was just, I was just kind of left to myself when it came to basketball. And I was just dumb enough to believe, hey, if I keep trying, maybe I can, let's see what happens at the next level. Let's just keep going.
And it worked out in the end, didn't it? And I think it's interesting that you mentioned, like, it's sometimes it's the results that you don't see. Like, it's not always like accolades and making a team. It's like, as long as you know that you're chipping away slowly and actually improving, that's a very important thing, I think. Now, you did mention briefly about your college days. So you graduated from Penn State Altoona. Apologies if I didn't pronounce that correctly. I just want to start off by asking, how was your overall experience at that college?
It was a great experience. I mean, it was college. So did you go to college?
I just finished high school today. So, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you. I didn't know what your age was. So,
yeah.
College here in the USA, I mean, it is kind of like what it looks like on TV, or I guess now we say the internet. So,
yeah.
I always wanted to go. My first year in college, actually, I was at Penn State Abington, which is a commuter campus that's close to Philadelphia, where I'm from, which commuter just means they don't have dorms. So, you don't get the normal college experience like parties and stuff like that because there's no dorms. You go back home every day. So my last 3 years, I was at Altoona. That's where I graduated from. And Penn State has like 23 campuses in the state. So Altoona is one of their campuses. It's the second biggest campus to the main campus where the football team is, the American football team. And the experience there was amazing as far as college itself. So, you know, the partying, the socializing, the friends, all of that. Many of my best friends to this day are people who I met in college. So that experience, I always knew I wanted to go away to college. I wanted to be on campus. I wanted to go to the parties and do all the stuff that you think happens at college, that happens. So that's what we did. And then with the basketball, of course, you know, I was getting better. I was on the basketball team. But again, this is Division III college. So it's not like you got a bunch of scouts at the games. It's not like you're on ESPN or anything like that. You're not famous. You're famous on campus. But other than that, you know, nobody cares. You know, you're playing at the D3 level. People are looking at you like, well, you're not – pro players don't come out of here. And for the most part, they're right. They don't, because nobody had come before me. Nobody came after me. Me and one of my teammates became pro players. Nobody did it before. Nobody's done it since. So it's pretty much uniform. We were kind of the exception. So the overall experience, though, of college itself, if that's what you're asking, it was amazing. I would do it again.
Awesome. Yeah. And it was around the same time when you graduated where you actually started to post motivational videos on YouTube about basketball. This is sort of where your career in social media and entrepreneurship sort of started. And, you know, at the time, YouTube was a very new platform, very different back then to what it is now. Did you ever think YouTube could bring the number of possibilities that it did in your life so far?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. So I graduated college in 2004, mm-hmm. and I started playing pro ball in the late summer 2005. And YouTube came out, or at least I found out about YouTube, a little bit after I signed my first pro contract. So it all kind of happened at the same time. So YouTube came out, and this is around the time that Facebook was out. But at that time, I don't know if you remember this, but you probably don't. But Facebook, when it first came out, you had to have a college email address to get on Facebook. And then it was only maybe 2 years after Facebook came out and they opened it up and said anybody can sign up for Facebook. So there was a time where the only people on Facebook were college students because you had to have the .edu email address to get on Facebook. And then they opened it up so then your grandma could get on Facebook. So now everybody was on Facebook. But that was a couple of years later. But then all the social media platforms started to come up right after that. And that was right around the time that I'm starting to play basketball. And I remember you mentioned, I know that you mentioned me at the beginning as a social media expert. I wouldn't go that far. I'm not an expert. I'm very experienced. So I wouldn't call myself an expert in social media. But I've done a lot on social media. And to answer your question, did I see YouTube becoming that? The answer is no. Because the first videos that I posted on YouTube, Tony, for my first 5 years, it was just basketball training. It was just me showing players how to practice basketball. The mindset stuff wasn't part of it yet. It was just me showing them how to practice, how to do a dribbling move, how to shoot, how to, if you want to dunk, how, here's how you jump higher, that kind of stuff. It wasn't until around 2010 that the players, because they noted a little bit of my story. So every now and then I would make a little talking video where I would just say, hey, here's what I did in high school, or here's how I made the team, and here's my experience. And I would always reply to the comments. So they had a little feel for who I was, because mind you, when I popped up on YouTube, Tony, nobody knew who I was. So they're like, who's this random dude? He can play, but who is he? We never heard of him. Like, he's not on TV. Who is this guy? So they just wanted to know who I was. So as they found out more about me, they would start to ask about, damn, you come to the gym every day? Like, why? Like, you, how do you show up and perform in that one chance you get to make the team every year when you've been practicing all year and you're nervous about tryouts? So how do you get the confidence to do that, to perform? Because a lot of players will have performance anxiety. Or they'd say, man, you only played 1 year of high school? Like, you walked on to play in college, but then you kept trying to play pro and then you made it? Like, what's the mindset behind somebody who has that kind of mental toughness and persistence? So they would ask that. That's when I started talking about mindset. But that wasn't until about 2000, maybe 2009-ish. That's when I started talking that. And to answer your overall question here, did I see YouTube becoming what it's going to become? Absolutely not. I didn't see it becoming that, because at the time when I first got on YouTube, 2005, how old are you, Tony?
I'm 18. Yeah.
18. So in 2005, you were just being born. Right? Yeah. Baby. Yeah. So 2005, there was no money to be made just from posting videos on YouTube. So for all the listeners there who are maybe your age, maybe a little bit older, but believe it or not, there was a time you could watch YouTube all day and there were no ads, because there was no advertising on YouTube. Right. Videos. Just watch videos. So it wasn't until 2009 that when Google had purchased YouTube, because they own it now, but when YouTube first came out, Google did not own it. So when Google purchased YouTube, that's when they started the monetization and putting the ads on the videos. And then the creators, people like us, could actually make money off the videos. But to this day, even when I'm putting out videos and they're not, if they don't even get traction, let's say I put out a bunch of videos and they're not really getting views like that, or I'm doing ads on Instagram and Facebook and I'm doing speaking gigs, I'm doing all other things besides YouTube, I keep putting videos on YouTube. And it's crazy that it's worked out this way, but it makes sense, Tony, that half of the people who find me through YouTube. Mm-hmm. Even when my material is not even getting as much traction as I wanted to get, people still find me through YouTube, probably because I have so much content out there. And YouTube's like TV, and people watch TV. So people are just finding me through YouTube because I have so much material out there. Even when, again, it's not doing as well as I wanted to do, I still get a ton of leads coming to me through YouTube. So I didn't know it was going to happen, but now that I see that, I'll never stop publishing to YouTube. As long as it's out, I'll be there.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, YouTube, honestly, it brings so much opportunities for people. I think, like, even myself, you know, I found so many opportunities through YouTube. And I think the great thing about it is that you don't have to have like qualifications to get into it. Like, anyone can do it. You know what I mean? It's a totally creative sort of business opportunity. So however you want to look at it, I think seeing how it's progressed over the years, it's really cool for sure. Now, you did speak heavily on the mind, which, you know, the mental toughness, which perfectly aligns with what we talk about here on The Athlete's Mind, of course, the name. But, you know, I want to sort of ask you, like, how important do you think it is for people to sort of tap into that mental side of the game and perfecting things such as discipline, hard work, et cetera? I know that in your brand, these are massive things that you focus on and like to preach and teach people about. But just overall, people listening right now, what can you sort of tell them the importance of that mental toughness to have?
As everything, because every level that you get to, the higher the level you go, the more it's about your mental approach than it is about your physical abilities. Now, if we're talking high school level, middle school, high school level, if someone's just more talented or just has stronger genetic gifts than everybody else, they can dominate just because you're just better than everybody. At the high school level, that can happen. And then when you go to the college level, you got all the best players from high school. Their stats, actually, I don't know how they play out in Australia, but here in the USA, there are stats that only 3% of high school players play college basketball. And only 1% of college players play professional basketball. So every 100 high school players, only 3 of them get to play in college. And those are the best players. So the best players are there. So now you got all this talent. So now talent alone is not going to work for you as easily as it did in high school. And then at the pro level, even more so. So that's where mindset becomes the biggest thing. Because at the professional level, everybody has talent. Everybody has skills. And for the most part, everyone has access to resources. So as far as training, the weight room, the nutritionists, and the recovery methods that we all have these days, everyone has access to that. So what's the difference between player A and player B? The difference is the mindset that one player shows up with, not only in the performance during the game, but also the mindset that they have around the game. Like, are they willing to use those facilities to actually put in the extra practice time? Are you willing to get, if you're playing basketball, take the extra shots? If you're a swimmer, do the extra laps. If you're a runner, do the extra, whatever they do in running, all right, whatever that thing is. Are you willing to do the extra work? Because that's a mindset. That's a choice. And as a professional athlete myself, I knew a lot of pro athletes who were there because they were good enough, but they didn't really put in any work that would separate them from anyone else. They were playing just off of their ability. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about sports, is that it's the one place in life where if you just have enough ability, you can get to the pro level. And there are people who will work a lot harder than you who will never get there because they simply don't have the tools. They just don't have the pieces. They're not going to make it. A 5'4" guy is not playing in the NBA. It's just not going to happen. But if you're 6'4" and don't even work hard, you might make it if you're talented enough. And that 5'4" guy could work 10 times harder than you, and nobody will even look at him just because of that's just how it works out. Yes. So the sports is a little bit different from the rest of life because of that piece alone. But as far as answering your question, the mindset is everything, because that's the only thing that's going to separate you at the pro level. You won't be able to beat everybody just on ability, because everybody has ability.
Very good advice. You know, I think that's so important. Like, we speak about that heavily here, and you basically nailed every single point. You know, it's so important. It all comes back to the mind. It honestly does. And now with you, you know, your brand, Work on Your Game, I want to sort of talk to you about that. You know, you found massive success through that. And that is where you sort of put into place that mental focus. You know, you have 4 sort of aspects of that. Talk to us a bit about those 4 different aspects, what they mean, and how people can maybe contribute that into their lives.
Sure. So those came from just the content I was putting on YouTube, and the basketball players were watching me, and they saw that I was showing up every day. And they would ask, well, Dre, what keeps you coming to the gym every day to work out? And that led to me talking about discipline. Then they would ask, well, how do you get the confidence to perform in a game the same way that you do in practice? That led to talking about confidence. Then they asked, well, you got cut from your high school team 3 times. You walked on at a D3 college. How'd you keep the vision alive in your mind? You could even become a pro athlete, because that's kind of a far-fetched idea, to be honest. So that's where I talk about mental toughness. And then they would ask, because now being on the internet and kind of having a name online, by 2009, this started to be a cool thing to do. And we went from kids growing up wanting to be a firefighter or a police officer. Now they want to be a YouTuber. And now I was known on YouTube. So now they would ask, how do I get started getting known on YouTube? Or I would hear from the basketball players who said, hey, I want to play overseas. The thing about playing overseas is not like being a doctor or a lawyer, where the qualifications are laid out on paper. You can find it anywhere. It's not like that for playing overseas. You had to go find somebody who knows what's going on, because it's a very shadowy industry. And on the information is not clear. So they would ask, how can I get started doing that? So people would always ask, how can I get started doing something that they saw me doing? So I started talking about personal initiative, because I noticed that a lot of people would talk about wanting to do things, Tony, but they wouldn't actually do them. Like, I'm sure you talk to a lot of people who talk about wanting to start a podcast, right? They haven't done it yet, right? So people talk about doing stuff, but they don't do it. So I started talking about personal initiative. So that's where the 4 principles, discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative came from. And those are the 4 pillars of the mindset piece of our whole Work on Your Game framework. And mindset is the foundational piece of everything that we do here, whether I'm talking to an athlete, an entrepreneur, or anybody in between.
Yeah. And I just really love, like, those, things that you focus on with work on your game. I think that's so awesome that you're sort of promoting that, because similar to what, you know, we're trying to do on this podcast, I don't think it's actually talked about enough in the world, whether that's even outside of sport, just how important these things are. Like you said, personal initiative, that's a big one. Like people, even that, you know, I speak to, like they always say things that they want to try and that they want to do, but it's not a lot of people actually go and take that personal initiative and actually put it into action. So, you know, I think if they can apply those four things you mentioned, definitely can make a very big change. Now, I did sort of want to ask you, you know, it's very inspiring, your whole journey, how it sort of went from basketball to YouTube and then developing a whole brand around this whole mental toughness. It's gotten you into other things as well, such as writing books, TED Talks. I know that you've authored 33 books, I believe, and it was 4 TED Talks that you've done. I just want to ask you, like, was this ever a path younger you saw you getting into? And, you know, how has the overall experience been doing such amazing feats in your life?
Well, I appreciate the compliment. First of all, I don't think I even knew what a TED Talk was. So I definitely wasn't thinking about TED Talks when I was, let's say, 18. I don't think I even heard of a TED Talk. Yeah. I didn't find out about TED Talks probably till several years later. And I don't even think TED was that ubiquitous at that time, to where people were like trying to do a TED Talk. That wasn't a thing. That didn't come about until around the time that I, you know, started to do mine. And as far as what was the other piece you asked me about? Oh, the books.
Yeah.
With the books, I've always been a writer. I'm a big reader. My mother is an educator, so she had my sister and I. My sister's a year older than me. She had both of us reading from a very young age. So I've always had a love for reading, and reading naturally led to writing. So I was actually, I had a blog online before I was on YouTube, but nobody found me from my blog. My blog didn't blow up. YouTube got me way more fans than my blog did, but I've always been a writer. So when, and I would blog when I was playing overseas, I would blog on like my Facebook page and on my website that I've always had, just about my experiences playing basketball. And then just about just my thoughts, whatever I had going on in my mind, which is a normal thing now. It wasn't a normal thing then. And that would be just because I always wanted to write. I always wanted to have a site where I could just share my thoughts and my ideas. So social media was like perfect for me, because that's all you get to do on social media, just share your thoughts. And then self-publishing became ubiquitous around the same time that YouTube started to become really popular and everyone was going to YouTube every day. And that's around the time self-publishing became a thing. So a lot of my books are self-published. So I could write a book and put it out the next week if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And that was what opened the door for me writing so many books, because I could do it on my own schedule, on my own time, and I didn't need anyone's approval. So I always had the idea of writing a book, but I hadn't been pursuing, like, it's not like I was calling publishers trying to get them to do a deal with me. I was just, I'll get around to it when I get around to it. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe when my basketball career is over, I'll try to pitch myself as someone who should write a book because I'm famous or something like that. But then when I saw you could self-publish, you could write your own book whenever you want, I said, well, I'll write as many books as I can. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, perfect. And I find that, you know, that's so awesome how, like, you know, YouTube, and then it led to all these other like things in your life. That's just like very inspiring to see. And sort of in a similar way with podcasting as well. I know you've had a lot of experience with that as well. And that's talking more into sort of how, what are your thoughts on how technology has, you know, sort of made its way into informing people of these things such as mental toughness? Do you think it's helped you better get your message out to your supporters and people that listen to you for advice through that digital way of podcasting?
No, absolutely, 100%. Because without that, how else would you get your message to people? And the only other way you could get it across to people, let's say if the social media stuff didn't exist, including podcasting and YouTube, well, then either people either had to see you on TV, and then you got to go through the gatekeepers to get on TV, or the radio, which you have to go through gatekeepers to get in, and everyone is not going to get in. Or you would have to get your stuff in some type of written format, which again, gatekeepers. So what the internet did was it tore down those walls, those barriers to entry, that allows any of us to have our own radio show, i.e. podcasts, our own TV show like YouTube, our own publishing platform like self-publishing and blogging. And as far as the podcasting specifically, my show is solo. I don't have guests on my show. So it's just me every day for about 20 minutes, just sharing my thoughts and sharing my ideas. And I know my main strength in business is my ability to articulate things, to explain things in words, whether it's written or spoken. So that's always been my thing. So the podcasting platform was and has been perfect for me, especially since the type of people who we serve, a lot of them are busy professionals running businesses. They're not watching YouTube all day. They're not on social media, but they can listen to a podcast while they're going to work or doing their workout or, you know, going and picking up the kids. So I know who our target audience is. So the podcast platform is very important just for that business purpose.
Yeah. And I think just as social media as a whole as well, like sort of, you know, with everyone being able to access it, like even with your basketball videos, it's actually interesting because looking back at when I sort of picked up basketball, I'm pretty sure I actually came across a couple of your videos when I was, you know, working in the backyard, working on my drills. You know, I'm sure I would have come across some, which, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, that I'm interviewing you now. But yeah, it's just, I think it's so cool. Like everyone's sort of able to access this information now when maybe when you were younger, you know, you didn't really have that. You had to do it on your own back. So how did you sort of, you know, without access to these things that we have now, what did you sort of do to teach yourself or, you know, coaches, anyone that sort of really helped you along your journey?
Well, I didn't have any coaches. Nobody helped me along the journey. So my parents are, my mom's like 5'7" and my dad's about 5'8". So they're not tall. I'm 6'4". And neither of them are basketball players. My sister's not an athlete. And there was nobody who took me under their wing to teach me basketball. And so back then, all you did was, well, this is what I did. I just went to the basketball court every day with my ball at the times of day when nobody else was at the park. And I would just practice. I would just do stuff and just try to figure out what can I do to make myself better. And I saw something that was kind of felt like it was working. I just kept doing it. And there was no, again, as you said, it's not like I had my phone. There was no phones, not that kind of phone. So it's not like you got your phone with you and you're watching YouTube. Then you look at the drill and then you go do it. No, that didn't exist. So I wasn't looking at it like, damn, I wasn't looking at it as if I was missing something, Tony, because we didn't know about that. It didn't exist. So it's not like we were wondering where it was because we didn't know about it. So I was going to go to the park and just practice and say, let me just keep trying stuff. And then I would play against other kids. One of them did something. Okay, that's a nice little thing that he did. Let me see if I can learn how to do that. So that's the way that I learned basketball, just self-taught overall. And then my mind has always worked in systems. I'm a very systems-driven person. So I would try to come up with some system for practicing so I could get better. So for example, my most popular video on YouTube, basketball video, is dribbling drills. It's like a 12-minute video where I'm just showing people, hey, here's the drills that I did every day to work on my ball handling. And there's nothing fancy about the video at all. It's not even edited. I really just shot the video and put the whole thing up as it is. And I'm just showing people, here's what I did to work on my dribbling. And that's the system that I put together to get better. And all the videos that I put on YouTube are simply the basketball stuff, at least, is me showing you the systems that I used to practice. I just made them up. I literally made them up.
Yeah. Awesome. And sort of talking more into the social media side, which, you know, we've heavily discussed today, you know, it goes without saying that, you know, social media has developed a lot and more people are sort of trying to get into it. With the experience that you've had, what advice would you sort of give to people that are looking to sort of start a similar journey to you, whether that's public speaking, authoring books, podcasts, just the general overall topic of it? What would you sort of tell people to do?
I would tell them to get started. Just get online, pick a platform. You don't have to be on everything, but pick your favorite. First of all, pick your favorite medium. So are you a writer? Are you a person who just wants your voice to be heard? Or do you want to be seen on camera? So pick your favorite medium, whatever that is. And I would say just hit that medium over and over again, like every single day, multiple times per day, if you have the material. And just get your, first of all, you got to find your voice. And by that, I mean, you just got to publish enough that you can start to figure out what your style is, what your approach is, how you want to talk, you know, what points you want to make, what your approach is going to be. And as you're doing that, the people who are interested in it will start to come into your world. And then you'll maybe start to get some viewers or subscribers or followers or whatever they're calling it and whatever platform you're on. And then you can try different things, maybe different approaches, different topics that you want to talk about, whatever you want to focus on, and your audience will tell you what they want. So when I was doing the basketball videos, that's exactly what happened. The players would tell me what they wanted. They say, hey, can you do a drill on this? Can you do a video on that? And I would just make stuff based on what people were asking me in the comments. And then the only reason I started talking mindset because they were asking. And the only reason I started talking about business stuff is because business people started finding me, and I knew basketball wasn't going to last forever. So I was just always going off the energy of the audience that I had and just responding to what they were saying. And I still do that to this very day. I just respond to what my audience is saying. Now, these days, I've answered pretty much every question they could ask. But what I try to do is anticipate what they are not asking because they're not even aware they need to be asking. And that's how I make my material these days.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying that, you know, starting that like whole journey and social media and influencing, it's a lot of trial and error, I guess. And like you mentioned, you know, finding your voice, it's sometimes you're going to fail, but, you know, you just got to keep going. And I think it's a lot of trial and error. You just got to keep doing it until you find what works for you. And once you find that thing that works for you, that's when you go hard at it, I think. So, and it goes without saying that with the success that you've found in many of these different aspects, I want to sort of ask you, like, moving forward, are there any goals or future projects that you are working towards, or are you just sort of trying to stay consistent with conveying that message out to your viewers, your supporters, and what do you sort of have planned for the future? Do you have anything in mind?
And the answer is yes, yes. Three questions in, the answer is yes to all three. So I always have something in the future plan. I am also staying consistent with what I'm doing. And yes, I do have things that I want to move forward and do. So biggest thing we're focused on here now is Work On Your Game University, which is where we do all our coaching, our high level training. We're really just making that into our main funnel, the main vehicle that everyone in our world is going to come into. And we're going to make sure that we have what everybody needs, giving them what they need so they can level up and move up in our universe is really the main thing that we're doing now. As a matter of fact, that's what the main thing I've been working on for the last this whole week and over these next couple of weeks. We're just trying to get it all nailed down so we can push the whole thing out to everybody before the end of this month. I don't know when this episode is coming out, but that's the main thing that we're focused on. While at the same time, we're going to continue to publish materials, continue to put out, you know, stuff on every platform, continue to spread. I want to get my voice and my name out there to as many people as possible, because the more people know about me, then the better chance that they'll take the next step and the next step and the next step, so we can actually help them with what it is that we have to offer. So always working on a new thing and always looking to take things forward and just seeing how can we best serve people and, you know, put the pieces in place so that they know what we offer is actually what they need, and they'll come in and take the steps they need to take to get the help that we can give them.
Perfect. And for my viewers and even, you know, just the overall Australian audience, where can they sort of find these opportunities that you offer? And if they want to sort of take that path into the whole mental side, where can they sort of find these resources that you offer?
Yeah, workonyourgameuniversity.com. So that's where you go. Workonyourgameuniversity.com. That's where our main offerings, everything that we're doing is going to be right there on that site. There's a link. There are links on that page also to get access to our free books, because we have books that people can get started with. It'll take a while to get there physically to Australia, but we do have digital versions as well. So you can get the digital version, get the bonus packs, all of that stuff. You can get there, and the university is all digital, so you don't have to worry about waiting. It takes a long time to ship stuff to Australia. Every I've tried a different shipper they got, so it's all crazy.
It is what it is. But everyone listening, I will link all of this in the description down below if you want to go and find these resources. So feel free to just check the description on whatever platform you're listening on or watching on. Now, Dre, we just have a couple mental questions for you before we wrap up. We like to ask all of our guests these, especially our athletes, just to get a bit of insight into what they sort of go through their minds. So the first question that I do have for you is, with all the workload that you do, you know, even before when you were playing basketball, even now with all the social media work you're doing, do you have that sense of mental burnout? And if you have experienced that, how do you sort of deal with that?
I don't have it these days. I have had it in the past when I was making a mistake of trying to do too much and not having help around me. So what I call that when I'm talking to my audience now, I call it tactical hell. Tactical hell is when feel like you're running on the treadmill and you're just running faster and faster and faster, but you're not getting anywhere, right, on the treadmill. So how do I get out of it was the question?
Yeah, so how do you sort of deal with that?
Yeah, how I get out of it was I need to get some help. I need to hire some help. And that could be in the form of people, which I did. Our first person I ever hired was in 2016 and still hire staff to this day. And the other thing that you can do these days, as well as hiring a person, is you can use software. So now there's a lot of AI that can do stuff for you that you need a person. You just need the right AI that can do things, and it can do things on your behalf. It's not quite to the level that it can replace all people, but I think it's on its way. I think it's coming. So that's the biggest thing. And also to get strategic, you got to put a plan in place, an actual game plan of what you're doing. So you're not doing what I was doing at that time, 2016, which was going from task to task to task. It was almost like you're putting out fires all day. So you ever go to a, what's the thing called, an arcade, and you're playing whack-a-mole, like the animal pops up, you just hit it. That's how a lot of people operate their businesses. And I was doing that at one point, but I had to get strategic so I can get out of that.
Yeah, very good advice. And do you have like a sort of a key motivation, I guess, for when the days are hard or even when the days are going well for you? Is there something that you sort of think to that sort of pushes you that extra mile to put in that extra work that is sort of in your mind, always in the back of your mind, just that key motivation? What would that be for you?
That's a great question. I got a whole list of those written down. So I use Evernote on my phone. I got a whole folder of not necessarily motivational, but things that just mindset wise, just keep me in the right frame. So it's not like I look at any one particular one or look for one. I got a list of, or I'll take a screenshot. If I see something I like, I might take a clip out of a book that I like. I might write something down that I heard, or maybe it might be even something that I said that I liked that kind of activated me. And I'll put those all into one file in Evernote. And every day I'm reviewing it. Even if I'm already feeling good, I'll review it because it keeps me in that frame of mind. So that's the conditioning, so that you're always there, not waiting until you feel down to need to go get it.
Yeah. So it's like a daily thing for you. That's awesome. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's part of the process.
Dre, thank you so much. That wraps up our time. I really appreciate you taking the time and giving us insight. It's awesome sort of interviewing someone with a similar sort of message that they're trying to convey. So I'm sure my listeners will really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure they will learn something. So thank you once again.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity.
No problem. We always love interviewing, outside of Australia. It's an awesome experience. So everyone listening right now, this will be out on all podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, and our main platform we'll be out on is YouTube if you want to watch it as well. Make sure you go and follow us on all of our socials, and please go and follow Dre and really follow what he is doing. Check out his books. I will link all of his work down below if you want to go and check that out. Some great stuff, and definitely can benefit you in whatever endeavors you are doing in your life. So thank you, everyone, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.